Good evening, everyone. And our gospel reading has two lessons in particular that we should learn and understand. The first one is about the demands of being a disciple of Christ, of saying to someone, I am a Christian. The other thing is Jesus is going to deal with a misunderstanding about wealth, blessing, and God. We are told that a man approaches. The other two readings, the other two Gospels, Luke and Matthew, give us a little more. It is an aristocrat that has come to him. It is a rich young man of the society of Jesus that has come. But we're told Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, there is something for you more that is necessary. The Lord was demanding more of the rich man. St. Mark makes this surprising observation as he tells us about this encounter between Jesus and this man. The rich man tells Jesus that he has observed. He has been faithful to the commandments given by Moses from his youth. Under that covenant, that's all he needed to do. He observed the letter of the law, but not the spirit of it. And Jesus, upon hearing the rich man's testimony, looked at him like a father gazing upon a son who is striving to do everything right. But surprisingly, Jesus, after giving this look of love to him, tells him, something more is required of you. He tells him to go off and sell all of his possessions and give it away to those who are in need. Jesus is telling him, I want you to let go of everything that you hold valuable, everything that you are attached to. Why would Jesus ask him to give up the things that he valued the most in life? The easy answer is that love always seeks what is best for the beloved. We are told Jesus' commandments. I've been very faithful to Jesus. I've done everything Moses told me to do. What was best for this particular man was to give up what was tying him down. As based on what Matthew and Luke tell us, that Jesus, who reads the human heart, has seen that this was going to be a very dangerous thing, not only for him in a spiritual sense, but I suspect in a physical sense too. But the scripture will not support the physical part, but the spiritual part. He was becoming enslaved by the very things that he valued. Perhaps those things, that particular way of life, would eventually overshadow his heart, hardening it, leaving very little room for God in it. So Jesus, out of love, invites him to choose something else. Choose a different path. A path of following God more dedicated, with more love, beyond just the letter of the law. And my friends, the Lord looks in a similar way upon each one of you. And he loves each one of you. And he invites each one of you to follow him. Follow him with more conviction, with more dedication, with more sincerity of heart. And that may mean that you will have to leave some of the comforts of the world behind. Now, in the case of this man that we hear in the gospel, the thing that was holding him back from following Jesus completely, and I want to be clear, when Jesus said, do all of this and come after me, he is actually asking him to be an apostle. Remember, at the time, there was the 12. This is huge. But Jesus understood what was holding the man back and getting in the way of true worship of God, and I'll go even further, perhaps life eternal for him. It was his attachment to his things, to wealth. And Jesus explains in this allegory that he says, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. My friends, a little bit of background, and some scholars argue about this. In Jesus' time, the city would have had a wall around it and big gates to come in, except for in the evening. In the evening, if you tried to get in, you had to come in through a smaller gate, door. And from what we understand, it was called the eye of the needle to get in. They knew that. So they knew what Jesus was getting at. So in Jesus' time, and the eye of the needle was one of the smallest pathways that one could see, particularly the ladies, because they were sewing back then. I suppose men, Paul was a tent maker, so he probably sewed. But unaided human eye could see, but it became the smallest opening possible. In this, it becomes a very powerful image. Jesus is saying, it'll be easier for the camel to get through that than for rich people. Now, you need to be careful. My friends, when merchants who were traveling in the evening showed up, they would have to, if they wanted to get in through that gate, they had to unpack the camel. They had to take everything off the camel to get it in because it wasn't going to fit. It barely fit on its own, but they had to unpack all the stuff, what the merchants were bringing, and taking off all the supply packs and the trade goods so that they could enter into the kingdom. So this gives you a better idea of Jesus' analogy of what he's getting at. So then perhaps it is possible that we are like those merchants or like the rich man, and we are loaded down with many things, many desires, many habits, maybe obsessions, addictions, inordinate attachments to things, that we are unable to enter deeper into a relationship with Christ then. What is it in our lives that block God's graces? His graces are poured out, but what blocks it from you? What thing is it in your life that needs to be unloaded, using the image of the camel and the merchants coming at night? Perhaps it's an attachment to something or to someone that's problematic. Maybe it's an erroneous way of thinking that I must have the perfect house, the perfect job, the perfect everything, and I will work my tail to the bone to get it. I'm thinking, well, think fast, Father. Don't use the word you normally hear on TV. You're going to get in trouble. If we have all this, then our hearts will be happy. We'll have everything we've ever desired. Our first reading tells us, no, you will not. There might be some comfort in it for sure. With God's wisdom, though, and that's what the first reading is getting at, with God's wisdom and grace, a greater perspective awakens us to the knowledge that such things actually can hinder us from being truly, truly happy in a lasting way and truly fulfilled in a lasting way. And that life here is temporary. And eternal life is what we should have our eye on. The true treasure and the lasting peace and happiness I will put forth to you as your pastor is Christ and your relationship with him. In him alone can you find true inner peace and meaning and wisdom and strength. So let each of you then, with God's grace, enter into a deeper prayer about this, into deeper reflection, and to consider what is it in my life that may be an hindrance for this, a way of thinking, a thing. Sometimes it is a person. What is preventing me from walking more deeply and committed on that path of discipleship that leads to the kingdom? Let us ask God, who looks upon each one of us with the very love that we were told Jesus looked upon the man, and ask him to help us to uncover it and then to be rid of it, whatever it is that hinders. Likewise, let each of us ask for the wisdom to know doing just the minimum, just enough to get by in the faith, will not suffice. True discipleship and paschal living requires, regarding wealth, Jesus used this example for this man. He said, you, what's required of you? Wealth in itself is not wicked. Because if it were, our Lord would have told the man to destroy his possessions and not to give them away so that someone else could be corrupted. You see, that's not the problem. The problem was the man was in love with his things, pretty much. And this was a problem. As I said, the lesson was about the demands of being a Christian, but also about a misunderstanding. That misunderstanding came from Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, it says that the Lord's blessing will come upon those who do what he wants, and you'll have blessings and you'll have things. So the Pharisees understood, if you're rich, God loves you and you'll get into heaven. If you are poor, you've done something bad. Does that work for you? Doesn't work for me. Considering I was poor and living in a car for a while with my parents, that means I was very bad. I may have been bad, but that wouldn't have been the reason for us to be poor. You see, Jesus was, that's why it said in the gospel, his disciples were all confused. Well, what do you mean? That's why they say, well, if rich people can't get in, who can? As if they can buy their way in. Friends, more is required. And I thought, what is another way to present it to you? And perhaps this would work. Would you expect a parent to be happy with a child that merely keeps the rules set forth by the parent? You will clean your room. You will do your chores. You will take out the garbage. You will be in the house by 10 p.m. You will not play on the internet after this. You see what I'm getting at? Would a parent be perfectly happy with a child that does just that? Those rules are there for a reason, and they certainly make the household maybe a more peaceful place to live in. But I believe the parents would hope and expect for more from the child. At the very least, they expect love from the child. And in that love, it would be manifested in the child's wanting to participate in the very life of the parents. And perhaps to take on the parents' values and virtues. In the same way, God, our Father, wants more than you just obeying the commandment. It's not enough. Is that love? I would argue no. Not really. Of course, St. Paul would agree with me this one time because he had a problem with the law. So my friends, I hope I've helped you, enlightened you a little bit on that.